Okay, let's do this. Hello, Bootstrappers. Welcome to Bootstrapped Web, episode 16. It's the show for business owners like you and me who believe that to get to where we're going, we have to learn by doing. I'm Brian Castle. You can follow me on Twitter at CastJam or my blog, CastJam.com. I've got my friend Clint Warren on the show today. Clint is a good friend of mine, and we're actually sharing an office together now here in Norwalk, Connecticut. That's right, I have officially moved out of my spare bedroom, which is now being converted into a nursery for my baby girl who should be arriving in just a few weeks. Pretty exciting times. Now I'm working in a real office space, and I love it. I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but I actually love the idea of getting in my car and going to work every day. Okay, now granted, it's only a 5-minute drive, and I'm my own boss, so there's not much to argue with there. But seriously, you know, having that separation between work and home has been huge. You know, I'm definitely finding that when I'm here in the office, I get so much more work done than I used to at home. I mean, it's never been a matter of motivation or anything like that, but I think that it's just when I'm working at home, I never really felt the pressure to get things done within a certain time frame. You know, I mean, now when I'm at the office, I know that I need to get XYZ done before I can get home, around 6 o'clock. I mean, speaking of, it's actually 5 minutes past six right now. I'm kind of hustling to get this recording done so that I can actually get out of here and get home. It's Friday night. So that's just a perfect example. I mean, and I also know that when I'm at home, it's just much harder for me to get any real work done because I no longer have an office there. So I am really loving working from the office space, and it's been awesome to work to kind of share the space with Clint. You know, we've been collaborating on lots of stuff lately and bouncing ideas back and forth. So it's just been awesome to have Clint as kind of like a partner in this space here. So it's been a lot of fun. Anyway, I invited Clint on the show today because I've never met anyone who does local networking as well as this guy. I mean, Clint is like a local networking machine. He's out there meeting people, organizing meetups, talking, taking people out to lunch, working the phones. I mean, it's truly impressive. So, you know, he's on the show today to talk about how he does it and the impact that his local networking efforts have on his business. So here you go. Here's my main event, my talk with Clint Warren. Okay, so I'm here with another interview. Today is actually the first time I'm doing an in-person interview for Bootstrapped Web here. I've got my friend and office mate, Clint Warren, with me. Clint, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Well, of course you're here because you work here every day. So Clint and I actually just started sharing an office together a couple of months ago, and going really great so far. Clint, why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. So I do a lot of web development work, WordPress development, and I also launched a business earlier this year called Illuminate WP, which is a WordPress educational company. I do in-person workshops teaching people how to build and manage WordPress websites, do a lot of consulting for WordPress-type projects. Everything's focused around WordPress.
Awesome. Yeah, and I think that's actually how I met you originally, right? It was through one of the meetup groups, a WordPress meetup or something like that?
Yeah, we met WordPress Stanford meetup group. Yep. in Stanford at 2010, I believe it was.
Yeah, something like that. Cool. So you're all about WordPress, obviously. So Illuminate WP, this is awesome because this is a couple of months old now, right?
I started, officially launched the company in June, but the idea had been in my head for a while. You talk about filling a need. I was literally getting requests from people to do WordPress workshops. So yeah, it was kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much education out there. You look at things like Team Treehouse and Just all these, I mean, tons of blogs and yep. podcasts and video training yep. and things. Like everything is online, but what really makes Illuminate WP so unique, and it's kind of crazy that this is unique because it's like so obvious, you know, it's the in-person local workshop. So sure. you're actually showing up face-to-face with a teacher and a group and yes. and firing up the computers. And
yeah.
And so the workshops are like, are they one day intensive or two day, or how do they work?
The workshop we do right now is a beginner's workshop. It is really absolute beginner, but it's the only self-hosted WordPress workshop in our area. So ahead of time, I set up each student a self-hosted site. So it would be, if you were a student, it would be like, your URL would be brian.illuminatewpstudents.com. Mm-hmm. So when they walk in, they have their test site with a blank WordPress install. And throughout the day, we show them from scratch, you know, our steps to how to build a site, how to manage it, use all sorts of different kinds of content. And we structure that. We break it down into like 8 sections. So we do about 20 minutes of presentation followed by, you know, 20 minutes or so of exercise. And during the exercise too, I typically have 5 or 6 instructors who can work with students one-on-one as they have questions and stuff.
Very cool.
Help them follow along. So, but to your point about the online training, you know, one lady put it best during her first workshop when we got a testimonial from her. She said, "I've signed up and paid for WordPress classes online. This is the only one that I've made it halfway through." We get that feedback a lot from students. They just want to, they don't want to learn at their own pace. They yeah. want to, you know, sit down in some place and just sort of get a crash course and be able to ask questions right then and there.
Yeah.
So
very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's something about showing up at an event, showing up at a building and sitting down in a classroom or, you know, wherever the workshop is taking place and getting down to work, you know,
yes.
it's like kind of going to school again. You know, I think people are still in that. A lot of people really still prefer to learn that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things too, that you can never underestimate is the value of learning it with other people right there next to you. So at our most recent workshop, which was December 7th, we put a lot of focus into structuring times where we kind of almost made it like networking. So you have other people, maybe a lady who's a graphic designer and wants to learn WordPress to build sites, and the person right next to her is a business owner, and they're talking and they're learning about each other's business and stuff yeah. together. So,
awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and so you know we should mention that these are in-person workshops. So locally, Clint and I our office is based here in Norwalk, Connecticut, which is about an hour north of outside of New York City. You know, because our audience is kind of scattered all over the place, all 5 of them, you know. So these workshops that you're holding are kind of all in the New England or Northeast United States
yes.
area, right? So Fairfield County, Connecticut, but then also like Boston and Massachusetts.
Yeah, we did one in Massachusetts with we had a partner up there. The goal really is to get it into the major cities. I would like to have it in New York. I'm trying to find the right person there to help set that up. So anyone listening, if you know that person or you are one, give me a shout and let's talk. I would like to have it in Boston. But, you know, for right now, yeah, it's in Stanford because we're really trying to fine-tune the material and just make it, you know, the absolute best learning experience possible. I can't mm-hmm. emphasize that part enough, is that my goal when I started it was to really make it the course that I wanted 3.5 years ago
yeah.
and all the, you know, material and mistakes and frequently asked questions that I picked up along the way. I just want to pass that on to students.
Awesome. And so like what goes into getting a new workshop up and running? So you mentioned like you're trying to get one going in New York. So what do you need to happen?
Yeah. Biggest thing is the venue, and the you know, the big what if is the wireless access. Mm-hmm. You have 25, 30 people simultaneously accessing a wireless network that has to work.
Yeah. So like even if the venue provides the Wi-Fi, you don't know if it's powerful enough.
Correct. So we really, you know, we did our last one at UConn, and, you know, we triple, quadruple checked with them. And, you know, they are set up to accommodate a massive number of users, but that's the most important thing is finding the venue.
I think you told me at the, one of the recent workshops, the Wi-Fi kind of broke down and
yes,
tell that story.
So we did one at a hotel in Williamstown, Massachusetts, and we checked with the hotel ahead of time. You know, I double and triple checked. I was like, you know, we're gonna have 30 people. Can you handle this? Oh yeah, of course. You know, we've had massive conventions here, this and that. We show up the day of, I get set up, and the wireless connection is dragging. And I, you know, go to my business partner. I say, Kim, this is like, it's not, it's crawling. And yeah. Sure enough, people started showing up. It was booting off of networks. I had to keep my cool and keep the course starting. But in my head, I was panicking a bit. Fortunately, we had a guy run to Walmart, pick up 100 feet of Ethernet cable and the like, you know, most powerful wireless access point ever. And like wire it directly into the room.
Wow.
So we, yeah, you know, you learn
just running wired like to everyone in the room. That's crazy.
Yeah. but yeah, no, to, you know, back to your thing about what goes into it. Really for us, it's been about finding that one person who can hustle and make things happen. So good example is our guy up in Williamstown. This guy helped organize everything, and we structured a deal where we said, you know, we'll give you a percentage of all the ticket sales if you can help us coordinate it. And he was a guy who ran his own web design agency. He knew a ton of people who use WordPress, and he just, you know, helped market the course. And we showed up and did our thing.
That's great. Yeah. So a lot of your marketing, and I mean, I kind of see it, you know, working, you know, nearby you every day. Is this kind of affiliate program where you reach out to local web developers, right? Is that basically who you look for?
Yeah. You know, and I do that a bit around here, you know, in terms of calling up web design agencies, development firms, because I offer, I'll pay $100 per person that they send to the workshop.
Does that account for the majority of the people who come, like people come who come through affiliates?
Yeah, it's, you know, in our most recent one, I would say about half of the students in attendance were referrals that we paid out. The one in Massachusetts was entirely referrals. So,
cool. And then the other half are people who know you personally, or they're just finding Illuminate?
Like, yeah. Yeah, we had one lady actually like fly out from Chicago at the last
That's
one.
That's crazy. That just goes to show how valuable the in-person thing is. I mean, they're willing to fly to, yes. You know.
Yeah, and she had actually found me because she's looking for a WordPress developer online. She found me and she saw the course because I wrote a post, obviously, about the course. And she, you know, booked a ticket and flew out to take it. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of, you know, that kind of promotion too, and through meetup groups and stuff.
Very cool. So, you know, in addition to Illuminate WP, you're also of course, do consulting work for WordPress development, and I, you know, you even do like in-person training as well.
Sure.
Cool. So, can you kind of take us back when you got started as a freelance web developer?
Sure. So, I left a job in finance about 3.5 years ago or so. My plan was to become a personal trainer. I knew a little bit about websites. I had maintained a few before. I knew a little HTML and CSS. And I remember the first time I found WordPress and was working with it and having that realization of this is going to so drastically change everything about web development. I really just had that awakening of like, this is the way of the future.
How did you get into web? What project were you working on?
Sure. When I was at the financial firm, we had a couple clients, you know, I was doing business development. We had clients who had websites that we were outsourcing some of the maintenance of. And there was one day where I was like, I know how to do this, you know? So I started helping out with that.
Cool.
And when I left that firm, I asked my boss, you know, we left on very good terms. I said, can I continue just helping out those clients? So that was my initial very tiny book of business.
Nice.
And what I did is I enjoyed it and I stumbled into WordPress. So then I started it started initially with asking friends and businesses that I've been to if they needed help with their websites, mm-hmm. And then picking up referrals through that and just, you know, working really hard and putting myself out there.
Totally. So I mean, what does that actually look like for the people who are really just starting out as freelance web designers, developers? So reaching out to friends and businesses. I mean, I guess, so reaching out to friends, that's kind of like going on to Facebook or just calling, emailing friends. But what about beyond that, usually only brings in so much.
Yeah.
You know, you might get a handful of new leads or clients through that way. But what's the next step?
So the next step for me, and really the biggest leaps for me, were a couple things. One was taking that step to volunteer and speak at a meetup group. Mm-hmm. I would say that was one of the biggest turning points in my journey. I volunteered in 2012 to speak about custom post types. And at the time, I knew nothing about custom post types other than what they were vaguely. But I took a month and I studied everything I could. I rehearsed, prior to that, my thoughts of public speaking were like standing in a high school history class, like sweating through a dress shirt, fumbling through note cards with my face bright red. So I was really nervous, but I believed in just helping provide information for people and giving back to the group. So I did that talk, and through that, right off the bat, I met a lady who wanted to hire me for some contract work. And I still have that relationship. I got invited to do that talk again in Hudson Valley, which I did, and met two other people, Alex and Gina at MarkNet Group, who I've worked with and collaborated with. I then gave that talk in Westchester County. I found that I really enjoyed it, and that I was picking up more and more work each time. Suddenly people were calling me, maybe not an expert, but a guy who knows a lot about WordPress.
Yes, it's amazing, the power of speaking.
Yes.
When you're running a consultancy, I mean, I guess really any consultancy, but especially for what we do, websites, WordPress. I mean, like you said, you are an expert when it comes to WordPress, but even if you're not, there's something about getting up on stage and speaking.
Sure.
And it's not, I think for clients who would hire somebody who's speaking, it's not so much that obviously they have some level of expertise that they're able to give a talk on it, but it's also like they're showing initiative. This is a guy who goes out, he's probably not getting paid to speak here.
Yeah.
He's just doing it.
Yeah.
So I think it just shows that this guy's serious.
A couple points to that. Number one, when I speak, it's never in my head. It's not really a strategy to bring in new business. For me, it's that I just want to share what I've learned and try to help other people.
Yeah.
Because that's how I've learned. I've seen you present, and I begged you to do your managing a client project because I knew everyone would get so much out of it, and I did.
Totally.
And I know you weren't doing it to bring a new business, but
And it's fun. It's just fun to share that stuff, especially. Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the spirit of meetups in general.
Yep.
And especially in the WordPress community. I mean, it's all about kind of sharing.
Yeah. And I think especially in web development, it shows that you can communicate and communicate well, and you have to, especially doing a lot of workshops and just being in front of people all the time. You have to know how to tailor your message to that audience and how to talk to different types of people.
Yeah.
So I love it. It gives me a chance to really express myself, share what I've learned, and just to add value. I mean, if anyone walks out with something, whether it's avoiding a mistake that I've made or what, I've contributed something, and that's, gives me some greater purpose to it.
Absolutely. And like you said, showcasing the communication skills, mm-hmm. for a web developer, I mean, that's huge because there are so many great developers out there, but so few of them are great communicators and can actually break it down and layman's terms.
Yeah, and that's you know, just to one other point of you know, how you said what was that turning point. Presenting was a big one, but also writing was too. And I know you do a lot of writing, and I remember when we first met, and I Googled your name. I was like, wow, this guy's out there. He's putting out a lot of stuff. So I started, you know, I started blogging a little bit, but it was just kind of like short random stuff. I started to spend some time and try to write some really, like, I guess they call it like evergreen posts that become like a good guide that people can refer to.
Yeah.
And then promoting it. And that helped a lot too. I have some posts now. I did one on WooCommerce that continues to get me several leads per week for people looking for help with their WooCommerce sites.
Nice.
So that was big too.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, you know, when it comes to writing and speaking, I think both of those things are kind of they're forms of networking.
Yep.
At scale, right? So it's you know, you're just exposed to more, you know, you're exposed to a whole room of people, or you're exposed to anybody who's searching Google for a certain term.
Sure.
That kind of takes networking and just getting out there kind of to a new level.
Yeah.
You know, when you actually, you know, start scaling that up. So I think that's really important.
Sure.
So networking at speaking events, today, you've been doing this for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
What does it look like today? I mean, do you try to make a point of speaking at, like, say, like X number of events every month or so, or is it just the kind of thing that, you know, when?
Yeah, you know, I get the itch once in a while. For instance, I don't know if you just saw, I just announced I'm going to go on a big sort of tour with the responsive WordPress talk. Mm-hmm. There's no fixed number, but, you know, I love having the groups together. If I am involved in some sort of project or something that I think could be good material for a talk, you know, I'm more than happy to get out there and do it. There's no fixed quota. It's just kind of like when I feel the urge, and, you know, I get requests for it now a bit too. I've been in touch with a guy at like UConn, and actually a guy at Yale too. So, you know, if they ever need me to speak, you know, I'm more than happy to do it.
Awesome. So the speaking fee is rising as we speak.
Yeah.
Nice. And so, like, what's your approach at the event itself? So you're speaking, or I mean, a lot of these you're actually hosting and organizing too.
Yes.
But take us through like the event itself. So you show up, you give your talk. Do you have like some sort of like process or anything that others can kind of take away from, like, how to kind of really get the most out of a speaking event?
Sure. So I would say one thing that, you know, maybe a lot of people are probably better at this than I, but I prepare a lot. You know, I rehearse it. I've gone through it. I have a rough idea of the amount of time. I really just make sure that, you know, people have taken time out of their day or their evening to watch me talk.
Yeah.
So that means a lot to me. And I just, out of respect for them, I'm going to make sure that I give absolutely everything I have to that. What I try to do oftentimes is show up obviously way ahead of time, so that as people come in, I can introduce myself and kind of get to know people's names. Mm-hmm. And it's not just some guy who, you know, walks in last second, gives a talk and gets out of there. I really want to interact with people. I love meeting new people. It means a lot to me, obviously, that they're there, and I want to build relationships with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's, so.
Very cool. and we'll get to, networking over the phone here in a minute. you know, that's interesting, because, like, you just working with you the last few weeks, I mean, it's clear, you know, clearly it's everything that you do is built on these personal relationships, and you have relationships with everyone in our kind of local area. You know, I mean, talk about just knowing people's names. That's just like a little thing that really impresses me all the time. I mean, like, everybody says, like, oh, I'm horrible with names. So, like, you seem to know everybody's name, you know, exactly who they are, what they do, what their expertise is, you know, first and last name, just like
Sure.
What is that? Like, how do you, like a trick for like, kind of, do you have like a mental like Rolodex or something?
I don't. And actually, it's funny. I appreciate the compliment because sometimes I worry that I'm not good enough at it. And I wouldn't say there's necessarily any tricks. Like, I've looked into those mnemonic strategies and stuff. I think for me, it's just really once I've built a relationship with a person, which I enjoy doing. I like building a deep, trusting relationship as quickly as possible. I guess their name just comes easier to me. You know, it's, they're not just some dude I've met at a networking event.
Sure.
It's, you know, so-and-so, and this is his business, and this, he has, you know, kids, and, you know, just the more personal information and deeper the conversation, for me, I think it's like easier to remember their name.
Yeah, it's all about taking like a real genuine interest in what they're
absolutely,
doing.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I don't know, you know, I think earlier in life and stuff, I didn't have as much of an interest in that. And I don't know, I can't really explain it. It's just over the past couple of years, I've become really fascinated by people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess working with a diverse group of business owners and stuff like that.
Very cool.
It's just, you know, everyone has their complete crazy stories and stuff. And
yeah,
it's always fascinates me.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, you know, about any networking events, you know, going to conferences, going to meetups. If you go into it just thinking, just have this mind of like, you know, be curious about
yep.
people. Just
yep.
you're not there to talk about yourself. You're there to just ask questions.
Exactly.
You know, just meet people and ask them, what do you do? What are you working on right now?
Yeah, you that's two of the biggest questions, like tip to anyone. If you're new to networking, two questions I always ask, if I can't think of anything else, you know, that's not occurring naturally, is what are you most passionate about? And what are the biggest challenges that your business is facing? Everyone, you know, has answers for those, and it, you know, it helps dig through some of the.
So you go real visual. Deep right off the bat.
Yeah.
you do a deep dive.
Yeah. But you know,
I usually just say like, "Hey, like, you know, what are you doing? What are you working on right now?" You know,
you start with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, it's those questions turn up some pretty interesting answers. And you know, I guess you never know who you're going to meet and mm-hmm. where the day could take you. And I used to think of networking as kind of like a chore, but I get so energized by it now because, you know, you could meet someone that you end up having a relationship for the rest of your life with.
Totally.
Great.
So in addition to these speaking events, that's kind of a big chunk of what you do. But then in addition to that, you do even more networking, you know. Can you talk a little bit about these networking groups that you belong
sure.
to?
Sure. So I'm a member of a BNI group, which is called Business Networking International. We meet every week. You're required to go every week. We meet
yeah. And they have these groups everywhere.
Yes.
There are chapters yes. in like all over the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I like about BNI is that you meet every week. There's only one person per industry allowed. So I have web design locked down. And you really get to know the people and refer business to one another.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone in the group turns to me for advice on websites and stuff. And I, in turn, you know, I'm actually a perfect example. Like, there's a business attorney in the group. So I came to him and I'm like, I have this non-disclosure agreement. I need you to review this. And now we've developed this relationship where I'm helping him with his site. He's helping me with business legal stuff. You know, I met this morning with a realtor who I met through the group because I'm looking to move at some point in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
And that mentality of what can I do for the other person with no expectation of return?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's sending business their way. I love doing business.
Yeah.
You know,
totally, man.
It's fun. And it's for me, what's exciting about BNI is that you have people who are at down, you know, in Weston at this restaurant at 7 a.m. in the morning on a Wednesday are typically people who are highly motivated
yeah.
And really are passionate about what they do and, you know, exciting to be around.
Yeah.
It feels great to be a part of that group.
That is hardcore to get out there at 7 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. They, you know, people are chugging coffee and, you know, jamming business cards into each other's hands. So that's, you know, that's one group that I do. I also subscribe to this is just in Connecticut, as far as I know, this email, but it's probably elsewhere. And this guy sends out a list of every networking event on every day, everywhere in Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
So at any given time, you know, I could find a morning and evening networking event somewhere in my area.
And it's just like all types of network, like all industries and things.
Chamber of commerce, you know, business council groups, stuff like that. You know, there's one that's like the Greenwich Young Professionals Group for like younger business owners and things like that.
Very cool.
I definitely don't discriminate. You know, if there's some sort of event, you know, I'm happy to attend.
Awesome. And so, like all these events and the BNI group, I mean, you're finding that they're actually beneficial for you, and like the return on investment in time and money and
absolutely. If anything, you know, even number one, there's, yes, direct contributions to business. Like I've picked up projects through people that I've met. But more importantly, and I think I want to emphasize this, is that you're building social capital. And I think that's sort of, it's very intangible, but it's also completely invaluable. Mm-hmm. Just having that Rolodex of people and putting people in touch with people. You know, having someone come to me and they say, you know, can you help with this or this? And I say, I can, but I have a guy. Mm-hmm. And just putting those two people together gives you more trust and, like, you know, people remember you for that.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's been extremely beneficial as well.
Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about conducting business over the phone.
Sure. You know,
because I think in our industry, obviously, everybody's on email. I mean, of course, you use email too.
Yes.
But so much of what you do is over the phone and even doing like in-person meetings, because everybody you tend to work with is local.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, phone can be anywhere, but you know, how do you approach that? I mean, you spend so much more time on the phone than I do. I mean, I do calls and like phone calls and Skype calls, but almost everything I do is on email.
Yeah. For me, I guess it's just I can communicate more efficiently on the phone. Mm-hmm. I use a lot of inflection and stuff in my voice. I like to hear the other person's voice because I can get a better feel for what they're trying to communicate. Right. And to me, you know, I guess it doesn't matter what medium you're using, but it's what works best for you. And I guess it was just there are times when it's frustrating because you have these emails that go back and forth and it's like, just pick up the phone and sort it out. You know, take 2 minutes. We can just get it done. I just think it's more like I like that personal touch.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's so much, especially like with the in-person meetings, where it's like I like to read people's body language and just communicate with every wavelength that I can. Mm-hmm. So
that's great. I mean, I think that phone calls and meetings, for me, they're great. They're really beneficial for, like, especially like you said, like the back and forth. If you're collaborating with someone on a project, instead of going back and forth on these emails, you can kind of get it all sorted out. But what about the random calls that just come in, right?
Sure.
Like unplanned, unscheduled. hey, I've got a quick question, or it's a completely new contact. They got your phone number from someone else, just calling you up.
Yeah.
Like how do you approach that kind of thing?
Sure. So I've gotten better about kind of blocking out some time where I can't just take random calls. Typically what I do now during times when I will get a call come in is just set up a time then for a call. Because, you know, one of the challenges of getting really busy is structuring your time most efficiently. Mm-hmm. And personally, I have a very short attention span. So if I'm locked in on like typing up a proposal and a call comes in, I could get immediately distracted and pulled off of that, which I can't afford to do. Mm-hmm. So I'll, you know, if a call comes in and I'm not, you know, have my phones off, you know, I'll just set it up for a call at another time, then have time to prepare for it and things like that. But cool. Yeah, you know, I used to be a lot more available than I am now because of that, because, you know, it was pulling me off of more of the big picture stuff that I needed.
Yeah. I mean, I've just noticed that you are very open about telling people to call you.
Yep.
you know, I mean, I think I've even heard you say, you know, like, just give me a call anytime. And
yes.
even around, I'm around on the weekend. I think, you know, I mean, I tend to, this is, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this so much, but I tend to try to steer people toward email.
Sure.
Or toward, let's schedule something over email.
Yeah.
If we need to talk on the phone, yep. You know? Yep. So you've just been like totally open about like, about that sort of thing.
Yeah, I have, you know, and that, you know, that I'm not saying that that won't change at some point down the road, but I really like to help people. And for instance, not too long ago, I got a call at like, you know, 7 a.m. on a Saturday. I pick up and I was like, you know, the guy's like, I have a site, you know, I need some help with it. He actually started off the call by saying, oh, this was actually a test to see if you'd pick up the phone. I was like, all right, well, I'm at the gym right now.
Well, you woke me up.
Can I call you back? I called him back, and we ended up doing a lot of work together because I was available, mm-hmm. and you know, I did pick up the phone. And I think that's sometimes what I frequently hear clients who come to me after working with other developers. They're like, "Oh, thank God you pick up the phone," and I'm like, "Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
you know, whatever means of communication for you is the best. Let's figure it out." So
cool. So how about follow-up? I mean, follow-up is so important, no matter which medium of communication you're talking about. But
yes,
and there are all sorts of different follow-ups, right? Like either like meeting someone new at an event, you know, yep. just a new relationship,
yep.
or a potential client, or following up on a proposal.
Sure.
How do you approach follow-ups in general?
Yeah, so networking events is pretty easy because you have people's business cards, and what I try to do is at the end of the event, I'll, you know, in my car or right, you know, somewhere near there, is jot down a couple notes on their business card so that I can remember, you know, a couple points that we talked about. I then, either that night or the next morning, just email them, say, you know, hey, so-and-so, you know, hope that your daughter does well at her ballet performance this weekend, you know, just to let them know, you know, I remember who they are. I remember what we talked about. And I'd like to stay in touch. So that's at networking events. A big thing too, I will mention also to get the most out of networking events is, you know, you don't want to make it so you see and meet those people and then it's like one and done. I try to set up lunch or coffee with one of those people, mm-hmm. To just follow up and take it to the next level and cultivate that relationship. Yeah.
And this is even just to meet for coffee to talk about whatever. It's not even like, you mentioned you have a project. It's just, you know.
Oh yeah, no, totally. It's to get to know them, and oftentimes what I'm asking is how I can help them.
Yep.
You know, who I can put them in touch with. Again, it's that social capital. So a good example is I met with a guy who was a financial advisor type guy last week. We get to talking. He's talking about his need for qualified leads, and in my head I'm saying, yeah, I got two guys I could put you in touch with who can really help you with that.
Yeah.
Put them in touch, and you know, they ended up having a great meeting, and they're going to work from there.
Awesome.
So that's, you know, following up with the networking people. In terms of you know, meetings with clients and stuff, you know, you actually, in your managing a client project, I think presentation worded it best, and it's, I never want them to be asking at any point in the process, what's the next step? When will I hear from this guy?
Right.
So when it comes to like a proposal, it's like, I'll have this to you by end of day, Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, it's never like, okay, I'll get you the proposal, dot, dot, dot.
Someday.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of, you know, I put everything on my calendar, just reminders to, you know, to follow up for, like launching a client's site. That day I put a reminder in my calendar to follow up either 30 or 60 days out, mm-hmm. just to check in, see how they're doing, see if there's anything I can help them with. And I also set that up on semi-regular intervals to you know, keep checking in on them. Sometimes that's just following up, see how their business is doing as from a genuine interest standpoint.
Yeah.
But also too, you know, you get business from business clients that you've done business with.
Yep.
So I'll follow up from time to time and, you know, offer to take them out or something and, you know, just say, hey, do you know anyone who could use my services? You know, so, you know, feel free to put me in touch.
Yeah.
So
very cool. I mean, that's huge, you know, really, really cultivating the referral engine.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I've been thinking a lot lately about how my business, the consulting side of my business has for years always been totally reliant on referrals. I mean, and the articles and things like that. But at a certain point, you want to really drive those referrals, you know,
yes.
Take it to the next level.
Sure.
You know, don't just kind of hope for these like busy seasons and slow seasons. It's about having like systemized ways to scale up the engine.
Right. Yeah. And you know what, like my goal in every project I do, this is going to sound like a little like lofty, but it's to make it the absolute best business transaction that person has ever been a part of. Like, I want them to say, like, I can't believe the level of professionalism and integrity that guy operated with. Yeah. So that anytime anyone mentions anything to do with websites, I'm the first person that comes to mind.
Yep.
A big thing, too, for me is, like, writing handwritten thank you notes. You know, I have some of the best investment I ever made was, like, very nice stationery with the wax seal.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can just, you know, it's just adding that little extra touch.
Nice.
That, you know, can help distinguish me and just let them know that, like, yeah, I took time to thank you. Because I really do, whether it's a $100 project or, you know, $10,000 project or whatever,
yeah.
I treat it all the same. You know, I'm very grateful that person decided to work with me. And, you know, I'm not going to let them down. You know,
totally.
Do everything I can for them.
Yeah, it's a nice touch. I mean, a lot of this stuff that, you know, the handwritten thank you notes, the writing on business cards, you know, these are just like little tactics that can be so powerful.
Huge.
You know? And it just adds up to, you know, really just driving a whole business for, you know, for year in, year out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really interesting how like so many of us who work on the web think globally, think like, we're on the internet, so we have to be marketing ourselves to the world. But
right.
When you think locally,
yeah,
there's a whole world right outside your door.
Exactly.
That, you know, and these days it's actually becoming an opportunity, you know, because
huge.
So many other people are kind of sleeping on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially in web design, you know, everyone needs a website. Everyone at least needs advice on a website. You know, we take it for granted how much we know. And especially at these like BNI groups and stuff, like your Joe Q computer user has no idea. It's just such like a black box type thing for them.
It really is.
So for them to, you know, just have an expert to at least consult on it is enormous. And someone that actually speaks their language, you know, is not talking code and stuff, you know, just can help translate things into good analogies and stuff to help them understand what's going on behind the scenes.
Yep. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. A couple more quick questions here. So like a CRM software or other tools that you use to just get kind of keep track of things.
Yeah. You turned me on to OnePage CRM, I think. I've been using that product for about a month and a half now, and I had used a couple other CRM things before, but they were just too robust. Really, all I'm tracking is I need a visual cue to remind me this is the amount of business you can bring in if you move these deals forward. I mean, you know, right behind me, I have the whiteboard with like the hottest stuff right now that I want to push through. And I want to be visually reminded of that.
Yeah.
Of like, if I can hustle this week and bring in these deals, that's how much money is on the table.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Cool. You know? So you like OnePage CRM for that?
I like it. Yeah, very much so, because I can actually attach notes and stuff to the last call, schedule follow-ups, and just, keep – once someone's in my funnel, I mean – if I can get in front of someone, you know, they'll work with me.
Yeah.
It's just getting in front of them and sitting down, and, you know, it'll happen at some point. So it's just staying in front of them.
Yes, yeah, totally.
And, you know, another point to that too is like, say I've had meetings before where someone's not ready to move just yet, but I will take a lot of notes on their business and try to just send articles and stuff their way that they might find helpful and relevant.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I'm popping up to say, hey, I'm thinking of you.
Right.
Here's some valuable information that I just wanted to share.
Cool. And are you setting like reminders for yourself to do that sort of thing?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Other times it will be just organically coming across an article and I like think of that person and I haven't talked to them in a bit. So that's, you know, I'll send something their way.
Very cool. So last question, I ask this of all my guests here. You know, it sounds like your business is doing, you know, fantastic. You've got Illuminated WP, you know, just really kind of exploding right now and all the consulting stuff. I mean, I see that whiteboard you're talking about and it's basically filled to the brim for those of you who aren't watching here. You know, awesome stuff. So everything's going great, but what's really challenging you right now? Like there's got to be stuff that we're going into 2014 right now. So what's kind of the big thing that you're working through?
The biggest challenge that I face, and as I sit down at the end of 2013, I ask myself at the end of every year, what are my goals for the next year? Short, medium, long term. And then I say, you know, how am I going to get there? And I map that out. I would say that my biggest challenge right now is staying focused and just pushing through and hitting all of those goals and not getting pulled off. I tend to love diving into new opportunities and things. And sometimes that's fine. But if it starts to distract me from the higher level strategy and stuff, it becomes an issue. So, you know, like one of my goals in 2014 is to start building out Illuminate and training other teachers to hopefully get the workshops in other locations. I may get pulled away on a bunch of consulting projects. I can't let that happen. You know, I have to remind myself when I set that goal and, you know, I put a lot of thought into the goals and the strategy and all that. It's to keep my eyes on the prize. And I do a lot. I mean, I could do a whole other, you know, talk on goal visualization and stuff like that. But there's typically four or five things that every morning I visualize. And that's how Illuminate started. You know, I visualized every single day for about 8 months, standing in front of that room, seeing the look on students' faces as I work through the material. It's having that laser focus, being able to deal with some of the day-to-day stuff, but not losing sight of the big picture. So that's one of the biggest challenges. And then the other, you know, you and I talk about this all the time, is best structuring your time and working proactively and not getting caught up in the day-to-day stuff of, you know, emails coming in and just, you know, the minutia of running multiple businesses.
Yeah, it's definitely tricky. And I think I'm running through the same kind of focus challenge right now as well. You know, looking back on 2013, I was just really kind of caught up in so many different things. In 2014, it's all about creating that long-term vision, focusing on one big challenge and just driving that.
Yeah, and it takes, you know, it takes a hell of a lot of discipline to do that day in and day out. Because there's a lot of, you know, there's so many short-term wins that are like, you know, pretty sweet. But I'm looking for that long-term, like, you know, just building that empire.
Totally, man.
And just, you know, really, you know, those long-term things. You just stay focused and I always ask myself, you know, I have to break it down really like week by week. And I ask I sit down every Sunday and I recap my week and what I did and what I could do better and what I did moving, how I moved closer to those goals. What specifically, and I carve out time each week, very specific blocks of time and say exactly what I'm going to do to move closer to that goal, you know, so.
Awesome stuff. Inspiring stuff, man. So Clint, thanks so much for joining me. I'm sure we'll do it again. You're not too far away. I can get a hold of you.
You're 5 feet.
Right. Clint, where can people kind of find you, reach out to you?
Yeah, you can find me at, can I give my cell phone number?
Right.
You can just email me. It's Clint, C-L-I-N-T, at Clinton, C-L-I-N-T-O-N, Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N.com. I'm on Twitter, Clinton_Warren, but I don't use it very much. So just shoot me an email.
He's a phone guy. He's not a Twitter guy.
Exactly. So I would give out my phone number, but shoot me an email and I will.
And then Illuminate WP is, that's IlluminateWP.com.
IlluminateWP.com. We're actually, I'm working on the material right now for our WordPress SEO course, which I expect to be really big in the new year. So that our first one is on February 8th in Stanford. And that's going to be, I have other people contributing material and stuff. And
nice.
I'm really excited for that one.
Awesome. So. Great. Well, Clint, thanks again.
And thank you. Much appreciated. Take care. Right. Bye.
Okay, so here are a few takeaways from my talk with Clint. Number one, when joining and attending networking groups, Clint always looks for ways that he can help others first. That's his top first priority, is how he can find ways that he can be of service to someone else, not what everyone else in the group can do for him. Number two, I really liked Clint's tactic of writing notes on the back of business cards of the people that he meets at events. That's a really great way to kind of stay on top of the things that you guys talked about and ways that you can remember people's names. Third takeaway here, Clint talked about how the turning point in his business was when he began speaking at events. He didn't even claim to be an expert, even though he actually is an expert when it comes to like WordPress development and other stuff. But you know, just the act of getting up there and speaking just kind of shows that he's serious and makes people want to get to know him and work with him. So if you're out there kind of just relying on referrals or friends and family for your first few clients, think about doing a speaking gig. I mean, I know it's nerve-wracking at first, but just get out there. You know, that is really a great way to kind of take your business to the next level. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you're looking for more, head over to castjam.com. You can get on my newsletter. I send a weekly note to subscribers with kind of the latest article, you know, something of value that I try to help. I try to help, you know, you guys get something that'll just help you kind of move your business forward. I'm talking about the things that I'm learning, but also lessons that I'm taking away that hopefully you guys can learn from as well. As always, I'm hungry for your feedback about the show. Let me know what's working, what's not working, what you want to hear more of, what you want to hear less of. Just let me know. Shoot me an email, tweet me, whatever. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you next time.